good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis. We're on the first floor of the Dayton's building. We support Native American artists.
Yes, we do. And we also support Native American news and events. And news is a big deal with our kind of turn on how the news affects us, but also there's news out there that you don't hear on radio stations, television stations that affect us in Indian country, and this is a really good time to accentuate and really elaborate on the news that's happening. So without any further ado, let's go to Ogma with the news.
I almost forgot to unmute myself. Bujou Anin, everybody. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. My name means strong golden eagle woman, and I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. Some news today. There was a lovely article that came out from the Circle News just this last week talking about the May 19th deadline to submit concerns about the new Line 3 abandonment. If you are new to Native Roots Radio, you may not know that we talk a lot about the Enbridge Energy Line 3 pipeline that was built across northern Minnesota. There was so much opposition to this pipeline that there was over 1,000 arrests from people, mostly water protectors, who were doing their best to halt the pipeline when they ran out of all legal options to stop it. However, the new thing that is happening, I guess it's not new, but what's happening now is that the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission has a May 19th deadline for concerned citizens in Minnesota to express their fears about Enbridge abandoning this new Line 3 pipeline. There's a group formed as Minnesotans for Pipeline Cleanup, and they specifically want Minnesota authorities to set up a trust fund similar to the $1.3 billion decommissioning fund established in Canada to cover abandonment costs alongside the Canadian border for Enbridge. So Enbridge has an agreement like this in Canada, but what they don't have is something like that in the United States. They've never had that done in the United States. So this would be really new ground for Minnesota and the United States. Paul Blackburn is the Minneapolis attorney who's representing Honor the Earth in this ongoing legal issues surrounding the Line 3 pipeline. So the new Line 3 runs 337 miles across northern Minnesota. And this then comes into Superior, Wisconsin, and then it brings oil from Alberta to meet there. So there's about 1,000 individual landowners along that route, in addition to tribal lands. And they're afraid that Enbridge is just going to abandon this pipeline, and they're going to be stuck with the removal cost for a line that they really may have not wanted on their land in the first place. So the Public Utilities Commission called for public comments late last year for how much funding the Canadian company Enbridge should have to set aside for possible pipeline abandonment. And this process is called the docket CN-21-823. So what's happening right now is Enbridge is acknowledging that they could close the line in as short as 20 years. And you need to make your voice heard on this, you know, concerns for what this pipeline cleanup looks like so that the state of Minnesota, the landowners, and the nations who have this pipeline going through their property are not responsible for the cleanup. So you can file online at www.mn.gov/OUC/consumers/public-comments or email publicadvisor.puc@state.mn.us. You could also mail comments to the public advisor of the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission at 121 7th Place East, Suite 350 in St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. You must include the docket number, which is 21-823. Again, that docket number is 21-823, and you need to take some time to make those comments heard on the Enbridge pipeline abandonment. It is going to be interesting to see what happens in the state of Minnesota, you know, in this short span of 20 years if Enbridge doesn't clean this up. Enbridge Energy, as you may know, got a huge stipend basically from Minnesota law enforcement to arrest water protectors, but yet they have nothing in place for when they abandon their pipeline. It just blows my mind, right, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. It's sickening, you know, that it's so one-sided. And we see that in government now, too. That's like, vote for progressive people. Oh.
Exactly. So wanted to make the follow-up with that so everybody is aware of what's happening with Line 3. In Line 5 events that are coming up, the Heart of the Turtle or Mackinac O'Day is having a donation event to work on the Heart of the Turtle gathering. So they have Water's Life t-shirts. They've got salve for dry skin and Minigan pain salve. And you can choose options to donate and receive those items. So a t-shirt would be $25, Minigan pain salve would be $50, and the dry skin salve, I believe, is $25, and then t-shirts are $50, and if you donate $100, you get all three options. So this is a really exciting event that they're fundraising for, and this Water is Life t-shirt that they have, you guys, is super cute. Look at it. It's got a little otter on it. So that is the t-shirt that they're using to raise money for the Heart of the Turtle event. So if you want to check it out, check out Mackinac O'Day Heart of the Turtle online, and there's information there. Or you can go to secure.actblue.com/donate/MISMU or go to MackinacOday.com/contact and you can donate there. So that is how you can help get an event going against Line 5. Robert, you shared this next article to me, and it is about the bison coming back to Shakopee. How excited are you for that?
Well, let's see what's going on, because I think they had some bison there before, and now they're returning. So hopefully they'll be the kind of bison that will fling tourists' pants over their head, or jeans, or however that went a year ago.
Oh, you know, I think that all bison are going to be like that. But basically what's happening right now, and this is from Bring Me the News, is that there is a plan to reintroduce bison on tribal land near Shakopee, Minnesota. And this is going to happen in addition to some reintroduction efforts underway elsewhere in Minnesota. So there's some bison on the Spring Lake Park Reserve in Dakota County. And, excuse me, bison will also return to the prairie this month at the Bellwing Conservancy in Afton, Minnesota. So what's happening is there's going to be, I think it's County Road or County Highway 16 and County Highway 78 is where it's being planned in Shakopee. So that's really exciting to have those bison back here in Minnesota. In a little bit more national news, IEN wants to let everybody know that the Bureau of Land Management has initiated a 90-day public comment period on the mineral withdrawal within a 10-mile buffer of the Chaco Culture National Park. So you want to submit those comments as soon as you can. You can check out IEN.org for more information. And then there's some events going on regarding the Mountain Valley Pipeline. So if you want to find out more about the Appalachian issues that are happening with pipelines, check out tinyurl.com/stopMVP today.
Hey, we got a surprise. We're going to have Ruth Buffalo stop in real quick. There's a big fundraiser out in North Dakota that I want her to talk about and give a quick shout-out. Then Nancy Bolio, and then we're going to have Chief Darwin Sumner who on again, which we're really excited to see. And, of course, Wendy's Sacred Animal section. We'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Ogama. We have Ruth Buffalo on right now, and there's some important happenings in North Dakota that I want her to give a quick shout-out. And then after our show, I want to give a donation. Ruth, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, tell everybody all over Turtle Island here what we got going today.
So today is the third annual DEM NPL Day of Giving. So every dollar that is raised today will be matched, and we're shooting for $20,000 is our goal. And so we're almost there, but we need more help. We need everybody's help to pitch in and donate so they can send us back to Bismarck so we can continue working hard on behalf of all working families and all North Dakotans, but we really appreciate your support. Every dollar counts.
So let's give that address out so we can get people on there and Ogama can put it up, and then Wendy can donate some money from the Pilot family.
Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. Even if it's $1, $2, $7, $27 for District 27, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, and wasn't that the magic number for Bernie, too, was $28 or $27?
I think so, yeah. Yep, it's a magic number, for sure. Well,
absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on. We just wanted to give you a quick shout-out on that, and we'll get that out there. And again, can you say it one more time where we can donate that for our slow people like myself?
Sure. It's through actblue.com /donate/legislative-victory-fund. And each of us have our unique links. And so it's sort of a competition, too, within our caucus to see who can raise the most today. But it all goes towards one pot, one big, huge pot for all of the 16 incumbents and all of the new legislative candidates. So we're really, really working to build our bench and bring more fresh voices with us to Bismarck in the next legislative session.
Wow, perfect. Thank you so much for stopping in and giving out that important message. We'll definitely be donating. Thank you so much for all you do for all our people all over Turtle Island, Ruth.
Well, it's a good odds. Thank you.
All right. Wow. That was State Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota, and totally excited for I think that ends at midnight, I'm pretty sure, Wendy. So we'll be donating some money. But, hey, we have our regular guest here. We're going to do one segment and then get to the chief who's waiting for patiently. He's coming and going. But we want to get with Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, and give us her great update, which we always appreciate every week. Welcome, Nancy Bolio.
Bonjour from northern Minnesota. Robert, we finally got spring. The last of the snow on my yard just finally melted yesterday with the rain. So I am feeling good, and I'm also feeling very inspired and motivated by our We Are All Treaty People delegation headed for the DFL State Convention in Rochester, Minnesota, May 20th through the 22nd. And just this last Saturday in Eveleth, they had the CD8 convention, and Joey Opegard Peltier, who's also known as a water protector and just a well-rounded community person here in northern Minnesota. We're both from the same town, or live in the same town. And he was running for the endorsement, and I think knowing or going in, we knew this was an opportunity for Joey to put the spotlight on treaties and some of the issues that we don't hardly ever see on the campaign trails, you know. So I want to give a big shout out to Joey Opegard Peltier for putting the MMIW issues out, our treaty issues out there. And we also made a call to action using a non-native land acknowledgement written by non-natives. And so Joey spoke to that, and then I had an opportunity to speak to how we are all treaty people and how we stood that easement for 8 days on treaty and how we look forward to building a new future together as treaty people. And we're here as a treaty delegation because treaties are very much alive today as the day they were signed. And after we used the 10 minutes to shed light on treaties and calls to action and just putting it out there, we look forward to seeing you guys at the DFL convention, and we'll be speaking more. We got a standing ovation, and what makes us feel good about that is that people are catching on and they're understanding that they are treaty people and they do have an obligation. So it was a good day last Saturday, and we're really excited about the state convention.
Hey, I heard you got a standing ovation. And plus, how congratulations on that. And how's your health? We know last time you were grasping for air, but you were a trooper coming on the show. How are you feeling today?
100% better, thanks to antibiotics and the will to want to keep forging forward. So I'm back, and that feels so good. So, you know, struggling through COVID and long illness and a lot of other things, you know, it can only make you stronger. So I'm here in a good way. And also, again, I'm just feeling good because our treaty resolution in Beltrami County was number one, Robert.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. That's how hard we work, is to get out there and tell people why treaties matter. And if we're not showing up doing this stuff, Robert, who does? I mean, who will? We do need elected officials, you know, on the top, but we also need, like, people like myself and people, those cool people that I hang out with, you know, to get the word out there that treaties do matter and we're all treaty people, because it starts everywhere. The conversation should be had everywhere, and we shouldn't always expect that our elected officials are going to do the work. Sometimes they're an overload, or some of them just don't care, and it's our inherent responsibility to be treaty keepers.
Absolutely. So I hear birds chirping. Your garden, you were not working on your garden much last year because you were doing the work for Line 3 and holding stand pat. So how are those strawberry bushes coming up there in the deep north?
They're a mangled mess because of being on the front line. And, you know, it's some of the sacrifice we make being out there is that we can't be home to tend to the things that we want to, but Robert, I can't have strawberries without clean water, so I have to prioritize what needs to be protected. And yeah, I hope a little more free time this summer, but then again, we're looking at the Hubert Mill Frontier Project in Cohasset, Minnesota. And we also just found out recently that the Minnesota DNR has been issuing permits to private landowners to remove Monomon from their shorelines on their property. And they have been giving out those permits since 2019 without consulting the tribes. And so records also indicate that this practice has actually have been going on since 2016. So who in their right mind, and if you're there to protect the natural resources, why would you give landowners the right to spray or mechanically remove the Monomon from the water? And so just last week at the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe up in Boyce Fort, there was a big meeting with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And I want to give Renee Kieser a big shout out too for bringing all that environmental science to the forefront. And I think the tribes are finally recognizing that we have so many threats to the water, and we really need to put those war bonnets on and flex some sovereignty muscles and protect our water. So now there's a new, a possible new front line that we haven't even talked about yet, Robert.
Yeah, and that is?
Yeah. Well, so we got, like, we're looking at two, we got the line five, but Nancy wants to kind of stay home and take care of her strawberries and go picking blueberries. So I'm calling all warriors to the front line this summer and help step it up and help defend all that is sacred, because we could really use all the support. And there's so much love in camp that you might not even want to go home, and we're okay with that.
So we have Wisconsin and, Madison and Milwaukee and Chicago listening too. So could you be a little more specific about Line 5 and how that affects our listeners?
Well, basically, Line 5 is an extension of Line 3, and we've seen what they did to Line 3. Enbridge has many recorded frackouts and aquifer breaches that haven't been publicly, noted yet. So I want to be really grateful for the work of Ron Turney from White Earth for joining and finding that information for us. But Line 5 is basically the same fight, and they're basically challenging Ashland, Wisconsin, the tribe down there, and the fight is getting ugly. And so we're calling on people to join our relatives in Ashland, Wisconsin. I actually think there's two places in Wisconsin that are throwing it down, and I couldn't tell you for sure because I've been working a lot on the endorsements and trying to keep up with some other things. But Line 5 needs you guys, and we encourage you guys. I know they're having a big event June 25th. I just heard that in the meeting that I'm in now, and I didn't get to hear all the information, and I could have had more if I would have been double tasking here. But yeah, Robert, they need to look that up and be a part of that too.
Absolutely. Well, Nancy, thank you. I know you're really super busy, and thank you for stopping in for your weekly report. We really, really appreciate you and what you do. And the information is power, so I really appreciate you, Nancy.
All right, and I'm going to ask that you share our link for our GoFundMe, because as we are treaty people delegation, we need financial support to get down to Rochester, and we're really calling on our relatives and our allies to help us financially support that weekend, because we're not just there for ourselves. We're there for the seventh generations and for all the sacred, and so we're doing that this for you guys too, so miigwech.
We will. Thank you so much. Up next, Chief Sumner will be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Even though things are getting better, COVID-19 is still around and a threat to our public health.
To best protect yourself, make sure you continue to wear masks in high traffic areas like concerts, sporting events, or crowded indoor buildings. Wearing masks can help prevent severe illness and reduce the strain on our hospitals and healthcare workers. Wear a mask with the best fit, protection, and comfort for you. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find more COVID information by calling 651-304-9986.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose and make sense of all of our current political nightmares and more every weeknight at 7 on AM 950.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here on AM 950. With home prices at all-time highs, do you want to downsize but don't know where to start? With the fast-changing market, I can help with timing, pricing strategy, home preparation, and much more. Take the worry of selling away and give me a call today at 651-303-0019. I've helped many AM 950 listeners sell their houses, and I can help you too.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 57. Wednesday, a chance for thunderstorms with a high near 86. And Thursday, rain with a high around 91. Nightingale off 26th and Lindale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Menu favorites include the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Plate, and more. Plus, they still do takeout and delivery. Open daily 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with a full menu till midnight. More at nightingalempls.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thank you, Wendy, and thank you, everyone. Chief Darwin Sumner, really excited to have you on again. Got to see you this weekend at the powwow at Little Earth. Really excited to have you on. Thank you for stopping in and speaking your truth.
Hey, Robert, miigwech for having me on again, and I'm honored to be on Native Roots Radio once again. Miigwech.
Huh, can you talk about your it's coming up soon, and you have a Red Lake person here that does the news here on here. Let's convince her to vote for you. Let's talk about your election and what's happening. Your hereditary chief, you're running for chairman, and we're hoping the best for you. So let's let your people know that are listening to the show and how they can support you and vote for you.
Yeah, okay, Robert, thank you very much. Campaign's going well. We just finished up with all the forums. There was 7 total. And right now I'm looking to do some more meet and greets in Bemidji and Duluth and some more in Minneapolis again. We'll serve some food and refreshments at these meet and greets. And I'm going to attend some community events. So the reason why I decided to file for a candidate for Red Lake Tribal Chairman is that the people really want to change. The current council has been in violation of our constitution, plus the lack of engagement and communication, accountability to our tribal membership. They feel they didn't have a voice. So several people contacted me and asked me to file for a candidate. And I'm more than honored to do so. I will speak on behalf of the people and defend our constitution.
That's awesome. Chief Darwin Sumner, can you tell me how the 7 teachings affects you and your candidacy and who you are? Could you go into that a little bit? And then I think I'll have Ogama ask you a question.
Sure. The 7 grandfather teachings are love and respect, bravery, truth, honesty, humility, and wisdom. And when I was growing up with my grandparents, they instilled a lot of this in me. Always to be respectful to everybody and everything, even the environment, to all the living things, because everything in the Mama Key's Mother Earth's is it all has a spirit, and we have to be respectful of the spirits inside of these, everything around us. They also taught me that I need to put others before myself and help others before I go on to do, selfish things like help myself or something. But yeah, I always look to help other people. And my grandma used to say, she called me Skidoo. She said, "Dar Skidoo." I always remember that people have a voice. They have a right to say things. They have a right to do anything they want within the law. So don't take things personal when they make fun of you or they treat you wrong. Just take it as a lesson, and then let that make you a better person going forward. So I've always kept that balance in my life and trying to help others. She said, always take pride in yourself, because everybody has a gift to share, and use that gift with all these teachings, and people will recognize that, and they'll do the same thing to you, and just treat them like you want to be treated. And these 7 grandfather teachings are probably a cure to a lot of our everyday problems, like addiction and drug abuse. These teachings can be used as a platform for or a foundation for treatment. These teachings can be to get our people healthy that are struggling with addictions and other mental health issues.
That's awesome. Ogama, do you have a couple more teachings? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. Ask a question. I'm ready.
Well, Ogama, are you ready to ask a question? I'm putting Ogama on the spot. She's a Red Laker. So what's up, Ogama?
Yep. Hi, Aneem Buju, Darwin Sumner. It's nice to meet you. Bindigan, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you know this, but they recently put out a survey randomly to adult Red Lake members asking questions about enrollment. So what is your stance on the current enrollment laws? Do we need change in enrollment to prevent genocide, or should we keep the enrollment laws the same as they are now? What's your stance on that?
I'm sorry, Robert. I couldn't really hear her. She was really breaking up.
Okay, so she was asking that there's a enrollment survey out in the tribe, And what's your stand? Is it a status quo, or is it more to keep the tribe alive in the future?
I haven't seen the survey personally. So from what I've been hearing, though, is the Wilder Foundation had a grant to do the study. And when I asked people on the tribal council, they didn't know anything about that. So, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Secretary Strong about that. He's always on the go. But I live right across the road from him, literally. So, but I know back in when Bobby Whitefeather was the chairman, they bumped up my father, Chief John Sumner. I think he was he got bumped up to 9/10, almost a full blood. And then I got a bump from 9/16 to 5/8. So back then, there was hardly any surveys on what was going on or who was getting bumped up. It was all done within the tribe. So what Sam is doing is probably beneficial to the tribe going into the future, I would say.
Yeah. Is that answer your question, Ogma? It's like he supports the survey and also, to keep people, to keep our natives going for the next seven generations. Sounds like, right, Chief Darwin?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Awesome. So, Ogama, do you have anything else? And I'll try and relay it. But that's a good question, because I know that's a thing for my nation, Ho-Chunk, is that they said by 2060 that we will be no longer around if at this rate. So we need to look really deeply into blood quantum and the colonized way of thinking. So, Ogama, go ahead.
Yeah, my next question would be. Go ahead.
When I was tribal secretary in 2017 and 18, we were enrolling people about 30 to 50 a month. So, at that rate, we weren't in any immediate danger or demise, as they say. So, we would have been talking blood quantum, and I'm guessing, but probably 70 years down the road. So,
yeah, that's cool.
So we weren't in any immediate danger, you know, but the way it stands now, I think they watered down the blood so much, it might have an effect that only time will tell. So,
well, I could tell you how it affects me and my family is that I was able to get enrolled and so was my child, but my child's child would not have enough blood to be enrolled. So there's, you know, even with making my father a full blood with the change that happened in late 2019, early 2020 that got us enrolled, it still prevents us from my grandchildren being enrolled, which to me seems pretty immediate.
And you might be right. We'll have to wait and see, and then plan for some adjustments in the near future if that's the case. And that's the best I can say on that. So
that's cool. Yeah, that's to be flexible and listen to your people. That's a skill, and I appreciate that, Chief Darwin. I'm going to give you another minute here. Just to speak your peace and your truth and remind your members where to vote and vote early. I know sometimes it's hard to get our members out there engaged in voting. So the floor is yours, Chief Darwin Sumner.
Well, yeah, the voting polls in Duluth, Minneapolis, and Bemidji are open on the 16th of May. So let people know that. And then the polls in Red Lake are open the 18th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that's when we all cast your vote for the best candidate you think will do the best job for you. And hopefully I will get some of that vote. But I appreciate the time being on with you again, Robin. It's good to see you at the Powell over there. It was a really great gathering over there. It was fun.
It was definitely, and it was great. A couple people that you were with listened to our show, so it was exciting to see people that listened to it, and they were excited to see you on today again. So I want to say a big peeny geeky for being on, and really, really good luck. It feels like to me you have a good heart, and that's what we need in our government.
You bet, Robert Miigwetch and Gigawabamidna.
All right. Thank you so much for being on. Wow, that was awesome. It's hard. There's a lot of things going on, Ogama. It's hard to like always, you know, get the people in that can really do the job. So I think a good heart is a good place to start. And Chief Darwin has a good heart. And I hope everyone votes their heart too. Right. All right. She shook her head on radio. Okay. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wait a minute. Do that one more time. Just one more time. I got to find the Howling Wolf. Where the wolf?
Sure. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Robert's still
can't find the wolf.
There he is.
Oh, geez.
Or she. We don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a she. I think you're right. Wow, that was interesting, huh, Wendy? Blood quantum is always a good question to talk about. And
it is.
And I liked his answer that we need to look into that as opposed to a definite no.
Definitely.
So.
And like Ogama said, her father was switched to 100%. And even her, now Ogama's grandchild, would not have enough blood quantum to be enrolled. That's astonishing to me. I didn't even think of that. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a big advocate personally of, you know, it has to be hereditary. You know, you have to be able to know who your mother and father is and be involved, mm-hmm. be enrolled, and it's up to the family to have you learn in our way, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky thing because I think there's so much different things going on, too, when it comes to it's a whole nother question, and I don't want to cut into your segment, Wendy, but we should do a show on blood quantum sometime. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And, you know, our daughters aren't enrolled, and so mm-hmm. that's always a consternation between us and they really are they less Indian because they're not enrolled? No,
right.
But it'd be nice mm-hmm. to be enrolled. But that, again, a whole nother show, and I appreciate the question, Ogma. And I also appreciate people coming on our show and taking questions like that because they're not mm-hmm. always easy, you know, and it's generational too. So, hey, I want to introduce my beautiful and awesome wife who's still in New York City. People are starting to wonder, Wendy. We talk about our sacred animals and our relatives, as the chief mentioned too. In one of the seven teachings, is that we all treat everybody the same way. And I learned so much from what you bring. So I'm going to just hand over the mic and the floor to you. So thank you, Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds, and I always like to thank Curtis. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. I came across a really fun article here. It's from Fox 13, Salt Lake City, and it was written by John Franchi. It was last updated at 2:30 p.m. on May 4th, 2022, and it's an article that talks about a Wyoming pilot who rescues dogs and flies them to Utah, and this is him right here. So Logan, Utah, a small plane with more than two dozen passengers landed at the Logan Cache Airport on Tuesday, April 26th. The passengers on board the Cessna aircraft weren't ordinary jet setters. The plane was loaded with 23 animals rescued from overcrowded shelters in West Texas. Dr. Pete Rourke from Jackson, Wyoming, is the founder of Dog Is My Co-Pilot. And he is the founder of this organization, Dog Is My Co-Pilot. He flies the plane to areas where animals face euthanasia and transports them to places like Utah, where they are given a new lease on life. Quote, "We provide transportation for the groups in the South that are completely overrun," Dr. Rourke said. "We wouldn't have made it to the end of the week. So the dogs at these shelters down South would not even make it to the end of the week." And he goes and gets them out and brings them to Utah. The flight began early in the morning in Denver City, Texas, after stops in Denver, Colorado, and Grand Junction, Colorado. 23 dogs were flown to Logan, where they were met by staff from the Cache Animal Society, Humane Society. "These dogs today got the golden ticket. They are safe," Dr. Rourke said. The dogs were taken to the Cache Humane Facility, where they received a bath and veterinary exam. Now they're up for adoption. Quote, "We have fixed over 30,000 animals in our community. We are at the point now where we have more adopters than homeless animals, and we are able to reach out to communities that need our help," says Stacy Frisk, director of the Cache Humane Society. "Most of these dogs will be in their next home in under 2 weeks." And that's how fast these dogs are getting adopted. It's really an awesome thing. The Cache Humane Society has space in its shelter because of the high rate of spay and neuter in northern Utah. That isn't the case in other areas of the United States. According to the ASPCA, around 920,000 adoptable pets are euthanized every year because there just isn't enough room in shelters in places like Texas, New Mexico, and the Central Valley of California for animals that aren't quickly adopted. Dr. Rourke is trying to chip away at that number by operating several flights a week. His organization has two planes and plans to acquire a third. Pilots volunteer their free time to fly planes full of rescued animals. "Rescue is my favorite breed," he said. "We're coming up on 22,000 lives saved. Anybody who has a dog at home completely gets where we're coming from." Originally, Dr. Rourke planned to save 10,000 pets. He has kept going after eclipsing that total because of the reason for his generous work is so close to his heart. "The event that got me out of medicine is that my wife suddenly died 10 years ago, and that was it for me. I was devoured by such grief," he said. Dogs rescued Dr. Rourke from his dark space. "The dogs pulled me out of a dark hole. They did me a favor," he said. Now he's rescuing them one flight at a time. "I'm sure she is watching, and I am sure she'd be very pleased," he speaks of his wife, Dr. Rourke said. "Dog is my co-pilot, flies to several airports in Utah to deliver rescued pets to several different shelters." And, you know, it's funny, when I was reading this, I was kind of looking up to see if there were other organizations that did this kind of work, and there are so many, where they fly the dogs from one part of the United States to another. Some of them are called Wings of Rescue, which has so far saved 62,000 pets. Pilots and Paws, Pilots to the Rescue, Animal Rescue Flights, and Flying Dog Rescue. And I'm sure that there's quite a number of other ones. And Robert, we used to do transports before COVID. So we used to transport dogs that originally came from Indiana. And some of the dogs came from the South. A lot of the dogs came from Kentucky and some came from Texas. So they made their way up here. And then Robert and I would take the seventh leg on the transport and bring the dogs up here to Minnesota. And here in Minnesota, we have a really great neuter and spay program. So most people do take care of that in their pets. So we don't have to worry about that. But and still, with all the efforts, so many dogs get euthanized over the years. So as Bob Barker used to say, Bob Barker, please spay and neuter your pet.
Well, thanks, Wendy. And, you know, that doing those transports made me want to adopt and end up with older dogs, too, because they definitely need a home. And that Absolutely. Really opened up my eyes. So I say, Peenigi, I want to say thank you to Ruth Buthbull, Nancy Bolio, and Chief Sumner and Ogama and Wendy. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.